Even when we don't see it, he's working. Even when we don't feel it, he's working. He works beyond our senses. Amen. Grateful for God. How about you? That he holds our future. And our future with him is eternal. It's not just an earthly stay, it's eternal. When the kingdom of God comes in you, eternity comes in you. So praise God, we are a bunch of people that are going to spend a lot of time in heaven, like eternity. Like one guy said, if you don't like the people here, learn to like them, because you're going to be spending a lot of time with them. There's going to be a lot of, there'll be no animosity in heaven, be no jealousy in heaven, be no envy in heaven, be nothing but just the presence of God and the love of God that's manifest. Everybody doing good? Glad you are here. Grateful things. Give me one thing that you're grateful for. Salvation, that's a good start. Good health. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Anybody else? Heat. Thankful to God. Amen. Thankful for his total love resolved through the giving of his son, Jesus. I'm thankful that God always has a future planned. Amen. And I'm thankful that, I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that God's working with my children. I know he's working with yours, but I'm just thankful on a regular basis that God's working on our children, that they would become servants of the Most High God. Amen. Well, tonight I told people Sunday, I said, we're going to start receiving offerings on Wednesday nights, and I really felt impressed the Lord to do that. And I didn't decide to do that for any other reason other than I really felt like the Lord said to do it. And so tonight I wanted to give us, and if anybody wants to listen to this, well, it seems like all we do is take up offerings. I don't know about you, but I'm almost convinced that when we get to heaven, that we're going to be glad we did give, that we did so. And we'll probably wish we had done more. We'd probably wish that we had laid a lot more things down. But the thing about it is, God wants us to be happy in our giving. The Bible says that we're to have to give to every good work and every charitable donation. And that doesn't mean every charitable work, but it just means the ones that are godly, the ones that are fulfilling the call of God, the ones that are doing things in his name. And the Bible says that we should really have a cheerful heart about things. I like the way the Passion says it. It says, let giving flow from your heart, not from a sense of religious duty. Let it spring up freely from the joy of giving, all because God loves hilarious generosity. Amen. And so when we're ready to give with the right heart, God's going to probably produce more seed in our life than we realized was possible. In other words, we're promised from Scripture that God will provide seed for the sower. And he's looking for a happy, prompt-to-do-it giver, cheerful giver, as the Amplified Bible says. He wants you cheerful about giving. And just like you get cheerful, giving to the things of God is a privilege. And watching God do things with your seed that's sown is another thing. And so what I wanted to do tonight, Lord willing, and I believe that God can give us all just a little bit of nudge along the line, because I think we ought to be willing to give every time we have an opportunity. And especially if it's an opportunity to sow into a righteous thing, a righteous cause, the life of God, into the family of God, and being able to sow into one another's life. But always being ready. I like the idea of having money with me. And I like the idea of having cash in my pocket. And the reason I do that, and some people say, well, you know, I'm into Bitcoin now, Pastor Wes. Well, it's hard to give that. And I'm not against it. I'm just saying, you know, I see some of that stuff and I can see how the mark of the beast can become pretty real just through that stuff, and how that they can control people's lives, how they can control people's lives through health. Amen. How many of you know the government is not God? And the government was created to just help keep us protected, more or less, not to tax us out of our senses. Amen. Every now and then I feel that political nudge get on me, and I just think, I think we have a world full of people who are pretty ignorant of the things of God, and people who are in leadership that make really mock God with what they do and the decisions they make. Let's pray and we'll get started. Lord, thank you again for who you are in our lives. Thank you for these people. Thank you, Lord, for the knowledge of God. Thank you for the understanding of God. Thank you, Lord, that you've called us for such a time as this. And Lord, thank you that we are a people that will come behind in no good thing. Bless these people, Lord. And Lord, thank you that their tomorrows are bright. And Lord, that all those things that we face together are things that you are working out, and you already see how they work out. And God, thank you for making a way where there seems to be none for many. And Lord, I thank you that our footsteps are ordered of you, that they're righteous, they're ordered in a way that Father God will bring honor and glory to you in the name of Jesus. And if you agree with that, say amen. We've been talking a lot about sowing and reaping, the laws of the harvest, and tonight I want to talk a little bit about sowing on a consistent basis. Everybody say consistent. And to me, that's whenever you have opportunity. Always looking for an opportunity, a way to give. And I think that if we don't prepare ourselves to think that way, we will never get that way. Because the Bible says in Proverbs 23, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And so when we begin to think that I want to be a giver, I know this, and I've seen it happen over and over again in my life. When I make up my mind that I'm going to give something, and it's a quality decision. I said, Lord, you get me the money, and I will be the giver. I will sow it. And I've seen that happen over and over again, and I've always wondered, how come I don't do that more? Because we always want an opportunity to sow, and the Bible says God will provide seed for the sower. I'm going to start in Galatians 6, verse 7. I'm going to read through verse 10 in the Passion Translation. It says, God will never be mocked. For what you plant will always be the very thing you harvest. The harvest you reap reveals the seed you planted. If you plant the corrupt seeds of self-life into this natural realm, you can expect a harvest of corruption. If you plant the good seeds of spirit life, you will reap beautiful fruits that grow from the everlasting life of the Spirit. And don't allow yourselves to be weary in planting good seeds. For the season of reaping the wonderful harvest you planted is coming. The season is what? That season of harvest is coming. Take advantage of every opportunity to be a blessing to others, especially to our brothers and sisters in the family of faith. Then the Apostle Paul says it this way, and not that he changed translations, but we are. In the King James, it says, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And so what I want you guys to do tonight is I want you to just get a hold of a little bit. I want to be a consistent giver. I want to be a consistent sower. And I know that when, you know, the Lord gives us examples after natural harvest and men sowing seed in this world, and I know most of us are familiar with farming, but it's amazing to me. When I was younger, high school age, I worked for a man that had a huge farm, and I don't know how many sections of wheat he planted, but it was a lot, and it took quite a while to cut his wheat patch. It probably wouldn't take near as long today as it did back then. Combines are so much bigger, and they're faster, and they're more efficient and effective. But I remember when we first started, I was driving a truck. Once in a while I'd drive a combine. But I was driving a truck, and I don't remember how many of the first loads that we took in. He had this great big granary out north. He lived about, his farm was about 19 miles north of Lakin. But I forget how many, but the first probably 7 or 8 truckloads of wheat went into that bin, and that was his seed for next year. And he put it in there, and he had the augers in there so he could move the wheat, and you'll keep it fresh, keep it aired out. But I always thought it was kind of amazing. Here's a harvest that's being taken in, and the first thing he does is he puts aside the seed because he wants to prepare for another harvest. Farmers think that way. And so in the kingdom of God, we think that way, and we think that we should think that way. And the idea of a harvest being realized is first thing you do is you put the seed into the ground. And then you spend the rest, you know, a lot of the time cultivating that field, taking care of the weeds. And it's always amazing you don't plant them, but weeds always seem to find a way to come up. You don't know where they come from. And it's always amazing to me that in the cracks of sidewalks, you'll find weeds. You won't find wheat growing in the cracks of sidewalks very often, although I have seen it probably. But most of the time it's just stickers or weeds or whatever. You gotta plant the seed and then you gotta spend time cultivating it. So God's not mocked. And I probably over the years, I've told thousands of people that very scripture. I said, be not deceived. God's not mocked. Whatever you sow, you will reap. And as I shared with you about the laws of sowing and reaping, when we begin to sow and reap, most people have a tendency to think, well, that's just talking about money. And that's talking about every sphere of your life. If you sow love, you're going to reap. If you sow kindness, you're going to reap kindness. If you sow bitterness, you're going to reap. That's why bitter people just get more bitter. They continue to sow more bitterness. And so that becomes a real stronghold in their life. That's why unforgiving people become more unforgiving. And I've talked to people that have been unforgiving about a situation, not for just a few years, but for decades. What a horrible way to have to live. But what they've done is they've sown into that, and you reap what you sow. Most people say, well, I won't reap that. That's the law of sowing and reaping. You reap both the good and the bad. What we want to do is cut out the bad, and all agree with that said, amen. So Paul was very straightforward with the people. He said, do not be deceived. And he begins by telling them not to question the validity of this law. You will reap what you sow. And we live in a world, and you've heard me talk about it in church from time to time, but there are churches that absolutely, they don't believe in the message of prosperity. And they don't believe in tithing. I heard one guy talking about it. He said, somebody said told him, says, I believe in tithing, I just don't do it. And he said, well, you don't believe in it. I think Robert Morse was talking about this, and I thought that was a good example. I believe in tithing, but I just don't do it. And he said, no, you don't believe in it. He said, you believe in bathing? The guy said, well, you do that because it doesn't cost you anything. And so the idea that we don't believe in stuff is a choice of ours. I believe in the laws of sowing and reaping. And I believe in them more today than I did way back when, because I didn't realize, I didn't have, and I have a little bit of an awareness now. I still don't know everything by any measure, but I know some things. I know more than I did 40 years ago. But I know this, there were times that I sowed when I didn't feel like I, in the natural, had it to sow, but I just did it one time. And one thing that kind of broke the ice for me in giving beyond myself and believing God, years ago when Bob Tilton first got his satellite hookup and began to broadcast, which is to me a very creative idea, and it just got a little bit out of hand, and I won't go into that, but I do remember that particular move of God when he raised money for that satellite to get it up and to broadcast by that satellite. It cost hundreds of thousands of dollars at that time. Still probably cost probably more than that. But I remember that ongoing revival that took place, if you will, lasted for probably over 30 days straight. And the Lord challenged my wife and I to give $100 a day as long as that was going. We didn't have any idea how long it was going to last. And real honestly, when I first started doing it, I thought, well, I hope it didn't last more than a week. And 3 days would be great. But it lasted over 30 days. And every day I wrote out a check. And I put it in the offering. And our salary back then wasn't that much. And what was really amazing to me after that month was over, we still lived, we still took care of things, we still tithed, and we made that over $3,000 offering. We did it in 30 $100 increments, if you will. But it just showed me that if God tells you to do something, challenges you to do something, He will provide seed for the sower. If you're not a willing sower, you're not going to get the seed from God, because God gives it to those who determine to sow. Everybody say so. And so even in the kingdom of God, I would tell people, listen, your first step to just open yourself up to God's blessing is to become a tither. And people will fight that. I've talked to people over the years, well, that's just not for me. Well, you're missing out on an incredible blessing. And when you get to heaven, you're going to find out that God really intended that you tithe. In Leviticus 27:30, the Bible says, the tithe is the Lord's, and it's holy unto Him. Whose is it? It's the Lord's. And so if we're going to bring it back to the Lord, then let's do that, but let's do it in faith. And then that begins to open up the windows, like the Bible says, Malachi 3:10 says, if you'll bring your tithes, and it goes on to say, and offerings. Everybody say, and offerings. See, people are trying to bypass the tithe and get to the offerings. God wants you to tithe so that you can get to the offerings. Doesn't want you to bypass the tithe. He wants you to tithe. But He also, because it's the tithe that He'll give supernatural increase. The tithe belongs to Him. You just bring it back to Him. It belongs to Him. It's not your property. It belongs to God. Amen? And we don't get a lot of shouts over the years, never have, and probably will not get a whole lot more. But the Apostle Paul said very fervently, said, be not deceived, God is not mocked. And here's some interesting words. The word, Greek word for deceived is planeo. I know that means a lot to everybody here. You've been reading your Greek lately, but what it means is kind of interesting. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. And planeo, which is the word for deceive, means to lead astray, to wander, to stagger, to be off course, or to be affected by someone's outside influence and led in a wrong direction. And I see all the time people take out websites and to talk about how tithing isn't for today. And I'm thinking those people are not smart. The word planeo is used in the New Testament often to depict the activity of false teachers who deliberately lead people from liberty into teaching that will enslave them into some kind of spiritual bondage. And there is nothing more pressurized to me than just a person that's constantly lacking in life, especially when it comes to finances. That brings a pressure that most people don't know how to handle. God wants you to be blessed. He wants you to have more than enough. And so when Paul wrote this verse, the language he used was a command coupled with a very strong don't do this. And so you could read, instead of be not deceived, his words would have been to you, stop being deceived about just the sowing and reaping. Stop being deceived. Don't think that it doesn't matter. God's going to take care of you regardless. That's just hogwash. You made the decision to get born again. God put it out there, but you had to make the decision to receive His, by grace, His Son. And if you wouldn't have made the decision to act upon that, you would never get born again. God cannot make everybody get born again. If He could, He'd get us all born again today and we'd all go on home meeting with Him in heaven right now. We all have choices, and it's throughout life. And so Paul told the Galatians, and evidently some unruly people, because you read back in Galatians chapter 3, I believe, when he says, oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you would fall away from the truth? So there were already people hammering on the people of Galatia, trying to get them not to literally walk in the truth that they were receiving. And it's probably very true that the sowing and reaping thing was being dissed in the church of Galatia. There were people trying to talk the believers out of it. What happens is we begin to think, I remember hearing a faith teacher talking about that there's not as much money coming in as there used to be because there's so many other faith ministries that is taken away from their cut, and he said this is taken away from their slice of the pie. Well, from what I can tell, God's pies never run out. And so your giving to a good cause is not going to take away from the kingdom. It's going to add to it. Plus, God's going to give you increase. That's why I think this. This is, always thought that as a pastor, I want the people, I want you guys to be millionaires. Wouldn't bother me a bit. I know what a tithe on $1 million is. But I want to be one of those. And I don't think I'm too old to become one. I think it's just closer than we think it is. But we got to be people who are willing to continually sow consistently. You get to face, well, I'm old enough now. Maybe I just can kind of back off. And I mentioned and alluded to this when I was at doing Lil's memorial service. She was on a fixed income for a long time, and that lady was just as consistent in giving off of that as anybody I know. Matter of fact, she kind of reminded me of the widow with the two mites. And the Lord was taken by her giving. And the Lord said, look, these people are giving out of what they have. They're giving out of their surplus. That's all she had. So relative to what they gave, she gave more. Because she gave out of her need, not her supply. I like personally giving out of a full supply. I don't have a problem with that. But I got there, and I've gotten there, and I'll get there to a greater measure because I began to give out of my need. There were times I didn't feel like I could afford to give. But in reality, I could afford not to give. Couldn't afford not to give. And it's the same thing with tithe. Some people say, how do you know if tithing works? You'll know that when you start doing it. You'll know it when you start doing it. And I've seen people that I would love to have told, don't give any. You can't. I mean, just look at it in the natural. They come to me and say, Pastor, I can't. I said, I'm not going to tell you what to do because my heart is to say, you know, if you're broke and you can't pay attention and you need to pay your bills, and in a moment I could say, pay your bills. You're a new baby Christian, get your bills paid. But if you've been doing this for 15 years and you're still struggling, then something's wrong. If you've been doing it for 5 years, if you've been doing it for 2 years and you're still struggling with the arena of tithing, something's wrong. It's either you don't have the revelation, because once you have the revelation, say, listen, I'm going to do this. And everybody that tithes that I know, they will tell you it hasn't cost them anything. Matter of fact, it's given them increase in their lives. And I've watched it as a pastor over the years. That's just the way it is. And it's not difficulty. But when we see people that scoff, I believe the laws of sowing and reaping, and they'll even, the part they mock is, you don't think God is going to multiply your seed sown, do you? Like if you sow money, you don't think he's going to give you more money? Yeah, I do. And I can give you a little bit of word on that tonight. And actually some of the words that come out of that one verse we used, just the Greek. But we should never try to use our influence to help people not do the word. And pastors, I'm telling you, all over the United States and the world, they're a bit reluctant to get up and talk about tithing in church anymore. You know, just, I'd rather them talk. I remember when I was growing up, there was a sitcom. I mean, this dates me, Ma and Pa Kettle. But they had a lot of kids, and I remember going to church. When they went to church, they'd take the offering basket. When it came by, they'd thump the bottom of it, make it sound like they were putting money in. That's kind of, I thought, well, sounds good to me. But what's happening to me, and this is an observation of mine, that young people that are coming into the kingdom of God, that are not established on the word of God, they hear that kind of stuff about God's not after your money. And you don't have to give money. God's going to love you whether you give it or not. But I agree with that to a certain extent. God's not after your money, but he is after your heart. And if he's after your heart, then he can literally, in your heart, you should say, God, whatever I have belongs to you. Yeah. And God would say, okay, how about the tithe? Well, you know, within reason. I just don't understand that. But anyhow, but what happens in those people that could be beginning a life of sowing and reaping, they start planting that seed, and they do it on a consistent basis. It's just like, they don't have any problem going to an investor and an investor telling them, if you will do so much a month for the next 20 years, you will be a millionaire. Really? Yeah. Well, God says that if you will sow and give unto him the way he says, that there will be some who reap 30-fold, 60-fold, and some a 100-fold. that's a pretty good return. And you don't hear very many people in the financial institution that guarantee a 30, 60, 100 fold. God is, but we put our focus more on what man can do than what we know God said he could do. Does that make sense? So God moved in Paul's life, and he stood on the principle, this is it. God isn't mocked. You might think that God doesn't pay any attention to your rebellious heart, but he does. And I say rebellious heart is somebody that's made the decision to do what they know to do, and or made the decision not to do what they know to do. Because the Bible says, he that knows to do something, does it not to him, it is sin. And so that's what the word mocked in the Greek means to turn up one nose at someone to laugh at them. Almost like sticking your finger in their eye. That's not true. And I'm thinking, how dumb can you be to mock God? And I think what happens is sometimes young people get in and they hear something about sowing and reaping. They say, okay, I'm going to sow finances, so I'm going to believe God for a return on this. And if for some reason it never happens. And so they think because of their failed experiment that this must not be true. How many of you, just in any arena of life with God especially, you believe God and it didn't turn out quite the way you thought it was supposed to? And what that does to me is it tests you in that moment. You're not sure you understand why it didn't happen. But one thing that we make up our mind to do is we don't quit trusting God. That's when it takes the most faith to stay in this walk, if you will. I think faith is more for those times we don't understand. But Paul does everything he can to protect a young believer coming in the body of Christ. When we first got born again, I was 23 years old. And one of the first things that I started thinking about was, well, we're supposed to tithe. I didn't think about that as a sinner. When the offering basket would be passed when I was growing up in the Presbyterian church, I was figuring out ways to be asleep when it went by or not pay. Rarely did it even come, that thought come to me to put something in the offering. My mom would send me to Sunday school with a little Sunday school envelope. Usually I have a dime in it or a quarter. It wouldn't be mine, it'd be my mom. She'd put it in there and take this and put it in the offering. My mom at least had a sense that it was probably good to sow into the kingdom of God. And she did. She gave on a regular basis. And I thought, well, she can't really afford to do that. And she understood that she probably she needed to do that just because of her life. And I'm kind of glad she did. Amen. So when somebody has an experience that's gone sour, that's either temptation to say, well, God missed it or I missed it. So God, you show me what I did wrong. Show me what I'm believing wrongly, and I will change my attitude. I'll repent and turn and go the other way. It's so easy to get involved in the negativity of, well, God won't do that for you. How dare you believe God to be prosperous? Well, how dare you not to believe him to be prosperous? And people like that don't bother me. And if you could sit down and talk with people about the goodness of God, the character of God, the unchangeable character of God, and talk about the true character of God, they get glimpses of him in the Old Testament. That's not the full picture. We got to get those people out of the law over into grace. Amen? And a lot of times people are always looking at the severity of God over the judgment of God in the Old Testament, and they forget about the grace of God that happens in the New Testament. So Paul again declares what he believes, and he says, whatsoever a man sows, that will he also reap. Again, that's out of Galatians 6:10. And so the word sow simply means it's any seed. It refers to any seed that is sown. Any seed that is sown shows us that this law is not applicable to only finances, but to anything in life. Whatsoever means whatsoever. It applies to love. It applies to work. You know, you can sow work and it become a natural flow in your life. Sometimes people today, they don't want to work. Well, they're reaping a spirit of laziness. Amen. Time, patience, kindness, forgiveness, bitterness, selfishness, and of course, money. All of those are potential seeds that grow in people's lives. If you're around a person who is very bitter, I guarantee you they are sowing seeds of bitterness. And the Bible says that seed of bitterness will grow up and it will literally entangle their total life. And sometimes others around it. Being around somebody that's bitter is not fun. Amen? The Greek word whatsoever is the word E-A-N, and it means, here we go, whatever, whatever thing, no matter what a man sows, that is what you're going to reap. That is a law. And some people are not happy with that, but this applies to every area of our life. If you sow kindness, you're going to reap kindness. If you sow love, you're going to reap love. If you sow friendship, you're going to reap. The Bible says he who shows himself friendly will have one or two friends. No, it says a multitude of friends. So when I hear somebody say, well, I just don't have any friends. Well, how friendly are you showing yourself to be? That makes sense. So whatever you sow, regardless of what it is, you will reap that. Amen. The Greek word does not mean a one-time sowing either. Well, I sowed when I first got born again. How would that work in the farming industry, Randy? How long have you been in farming? How long have you been in farming?
Since I was five.
25 years in, right? So well over 50 years. But what would have been the thought process if Randy said, well, I sowed a wheat harvest back then. Why should I have to sow it again? If you sow nothing, you're going to reap 100% of nothing. If you sowed nothing a million times, it's still going to come out nothing. Don't care how many times you sow it. You reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. Whatever a man, and the word for sowing there, whatsoever a man sows, 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 he will reap, 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 reap. That's what that word means. It's not a one-time sowing. Whatever a man sows, 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 he will reap, 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 reap. That's a good word. And so in other words, this describes a constant, steady, perpetual sowing. That's one of the reasons I wanted to start receiving an offering. We put up a basket from time to time. We'd call people's attention to it, but it really just got the place where it just collected a lot of nothing. And I'm not saying that critically of anything, because sometimes people just need a reminder. So even like when you get ready to sow a seed, well, okay, tonight we're going to take up an offering here in a little bit, but you should always ask God what he wants you to do. And if you hear real clearly nothing, then you do nothing. If you have absolutely nothing to give, then your prayer is, Lord, get me some seed to sow. Just don't stay neutral. In other words, begin to move. And if I got seed, then I'm going to sow it. Well, it's only a little bit of seed, but a little bit of seed go a long way with God. Amen. So keep on habitually sowing so that you can keep on habitually receiving. Make it a habit to sow on a regular basis. People always walk away from this promise because they failed the test. They sowed and nothing happened. So evidently this doesn't work. You know, sometimes you just don't understand that there's a process of that crop to grow up. You got to give it time. You got to give it time. Sow a little patience into that particular thing. The level at which you sow is the level at which you will reap. And let me just show you a couple of examples. You sow a little, you reap a little. You sow a lot, you reap a lot. This is not rocket science. And if you sow inconsistently, you will reap inconsistently. If you sow regularly, you will reap regularly. You will reap what you sow. So we could read Galatians 6 just with the telling you what the words, some of the words mean from the Greek. We could read Galatians 6:7 like this. Stop letting people lead you astray from the truth. You might try to turn your nose at the law of God, but it won't change the law. It remains true that whatever you regularly and habitually sow, regardless of what it is, that is exactly what you will regularly and habitually reap. Isn't that amazing? That is exactly. So then in Galatians 9:10, it's, so let's not get tired of doing what is good. Well, I've been sowing, 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 sowing. I've grown weary sowing. Well, evidently the Spirit of God knew that that's the way some people are going to feel. So we're admonished from that same passage of Scripture on down in verse 9. Let's not get tired of doing what is good. In other words, sowing is good, especially sowing righteous seed. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. A lot of people give up right before the harvest comes. Well, I've been doing this for years. I've said that before. I've been sowing seeds, you know, and I've done this. I didn't do it a lot, but I've done it. Even when people were building a house, I'd give them, I would sow a seed into them. I said, I'm sowing a seed for my house. Paid off. You may think that sounds silly, but I believe you reap what you sow. God can take a $20, and I'm not talking about real huge seed, but I'm thinking $20 or $25, just some seed that God can work with. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith. Keep on sowing. Be consistent. Be faithful. Be faithful and don't give up or start or stop giving completely. That's what the enemy would like you to do. Don't allow the enemy or anyone to talk you out of giving. You've probably heard me talk about when I wasn't even thinking about giving. Apart from God, if I wouldn't have met Jesus, I'd be one of the more selfish people around. And I've had opportunity to become a generous person. I like that better. But I remember when my sister Sylvia was raising her children and they were out working. And one of the things they had to do if they were going to have a job, the first thing they did with that paycheck is they tithed off of it. And I remember telling Sandy on the way home from visiting them once, I said, I think that's terrible, making your kids tithe. That's how stupid I was. And I think most of the world thinks that way. But you know what? Those kids have all grown up, have very good lives. They've been well taken care of. They have a retirement. They, you know, David, my nephew, he's only 5 years younger than me. But I'm just amazed at how well they've done. And dadgummit, those kids had to tithe when they were little kids. Think how much money God robbed from them. You know, isn't that terrible? The world thinks that way. And God thinks this way, you've robbed me. And people say, how we rob you? By your tithes and offerings. This is a real good hallelujah shout message, isn't it? This should be for all the other people that aren't here. But I'm thinking usually people that are here want to see increase in their life more than they have seen just because of their faithfulness. And I believe that when you've sown and sown on a regular basis, you should expect, you should be looking for your harvest to come. And if you agree with that, say amen. And like it or not, it's just the law of God. And God's laws work. The law of sowing and reaping. If you're in a tight spot financially, I've always told people, you need to sow a financial seed. Amen. Because it'll work. Does that make sense to anyone? So let me just have you repeat after me, and we're going to pray, I wrote my offering out before I came, but I had an idea of how much I was going to give, and I was writing it out, and the Lord said, I'd like you to double that. And I said, okay, it's not a big double, but it was double what I was going to give. But just say this with me, Lord, I want to be a faithful, consistent giver. I don't want to be on again, off again in the sowing of my financial seed. I know that this is a spiritual law, that it will always work and never change. So please help me renew my thinking. to the truth of this law and to come into conformity with it. I want to habitually sow and I want to habitually reap. Help me plant the right seeds into the right soil. Then I ask you to provide the right atmosphere, the right climate to make my harvest grow in Jesus' name. We ought to be a people, real honestly, that come behind and no good thing. And I mean, we have the finances, we have the blessing of God, and we just simply do. So what we do, and I'm not sure, for right now, this is just going to go into the general offering. I think at one time we put it out there and that gives us liberty to do with it what we want, but since it's a seed offering, then it probably be good that if God told us to plant some of this seed somewhere, we ought to do it. And so that's what I'd like us to do. So you write out a check if you want, put it in an envelope if you want, cash if you want. Just simply do what God. And you know, a very simple idea is, Lord, what would you have me do? And if you need to borrow some money, Tom's always ready. He's always got a roll. But you have to pay him back. Linda?
Can I share something?
Sure. Awesome.
See to it that there was always more than enough. God is always a more than enough God. He isn't going to leave you high and dry when you sow seed. He's going to bountifully bless you.
You know, this is my observation. I've pastored for a few years now, but people that love to tithe usually are the people who are the most generous. You know, they just are generous hearts. That selfishness, it really can grow in and just entangle your soulish mind, and you can become not a real purveyor of God's truth and allowing it to flow through you. So, Father, we bring this seed before you. And you said that you'd provide seed for the sower. You said, Lord, that if we would give, it would be given unto us, good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, would men give into our bosom. And Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to give. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. We call in the harvest. We are habitual givers. We are habitual sowers, and we will be habitual harvesters. And we thank you for that. We give you praise in Jesus' name. All agree with that said? Amen and amen. Anybody have anything they'd like to share about increase that come in your life when you sow the seed? And we ought to have some of those.
God is just supernaturally
Yeah, you could be so far down, you think, hey, what the heck? What have I got to lose? You got everything to gain. And I think part of that just the heart connection with God that starts opening up the windows of your soul and watching Him do. That's like us. We didn't start out in this position in our life. And matter of fact, I did as much, especially my Christian walk, I did as much as I could to hinder God's move. Just with the wrong attitude, with just a selfish heart at times. You'd see what God had done in other people's life, you'd almost become covetous of what's going on in their life. And you have to be careful with that. You should rejoice in another, especially another brother or sister's prosperity. Because you're in the same family. And if your father took care of them, he'll take care of you. But every walk is relative with the Father. It's where you are and how you're dealing with that. Anybody else? Could have been, very possibly, and you know, getting a tenfold return is not a bad deal. Yeah, I remember telling the Lord that if I had $500, I'd give it to Oral Roberts, because Oral Roberts raising some money for some stuff, and I believed in him. Still, you know, I'm thankful for what he did. Anyhow, I told the Lord that morning, I was out in my office in Ulysses when I was pastoring there, and on the way to, I was going to go get a donut, actually, and then on the way that guy from the church came by and says, where are you going? And I said, I'm going to go get a donut. And he said, well, I'm going to take something, lay it on your desk for. And he said, you're not going to leave there like it came, in Jesus' name. And so anyhow, when I got back, he had laid a $1,500 check on for me, made out to me. And I took... This is true. I have to tell you, the thought came, you know, maybe Oral doesn't need that $500 quite as bad. And I thought, no, I am not doing that. I sat down and I wrote the check for $500, put it in the mail, and went and deposited that check. But the thing of it was, I sold $500 that I said I was willing, but I had $1,000 extra. I would do that every day. That's not a bad deal. But a key again, and we didn't talk a lot about that, just being sensitive to the voice of the Lord. God's always in the position to give, and He wants to give through you and me. Anybody else?
Over the summer, the company that I worked for, we had no overtime throughout the whole summer. I went to a men's encounter in August, and we received a pretty significant amount of money from backpacks or the tax money on unemployment that we had received during the pandemic. And it was put on my heart to give 10% of it right away. And that's more money than I've ever given to anybody or anything at one time. And literally ever since then, I just realized this, we've had overtime ever since I got back and gave that off. And not just a little bit of overtime, but as much as I can handle. So
cool.
It's definitely came back at least probably tenfold.
Enough overtime that your wife is asking you, why are you coming home so early? That's awesome. Tithing's a good thing. I love watching people realize that. And I remember Lyle Timmons, he always told me, he said, Pastor, preach on that tithing thing as much as you want to, because I really do that well. He said, the other stuff, you just need to quit meddling. But I do believe that we're living in a day where honestly God is going to give supernatural increase, accelerate that harvest. And not that we're putting any demands on God, but I know what God spoke to me going into 2022. He expected, he told me, do you expect a harvest in 2022? Do you expect it to happen in 2022, supernatural harvest? I'm in for that, and I'm thanking him for it. Amen. Anybody else? If not, we are dismissed. Thank you for coming. God bless you. We'll see you Sunday.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.